Blog Talk Radio.
If I knew then what I know now, no, I wouldn't change much of anything anyhow. It was 50-50, and I won the coin toss when you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you dance with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you dance with me at the Huntington's Waltz.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. Help for HD Live is brought to you by Help for HD International on Blog Talk Radio. And our show is made possible by Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. I'm your host, Sharon Thomason, and I'm excited to have Heather Fortune on the show with us today. Heather's a case manager, too, for a wonderful nonprofit organization that some of you already know about. It's called Caring Voice Coalition. Today we're going to talk about the many services that Caring Voice Coalition offers to the HD community. If you have questions for Heather, please feel free to call in at 310-982-4277, or you can post your question in the chat room. Welcome, Heather, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
I am very excited to be with you today, Sharon. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, let's jump right into getting some information about your organization. Can you give us a little bit of background about Caring Voice Coalition, how long it's been in existence, and how and why it came to exist?
Absolutely. Caring Voice was established in 2003. Our president and our founder, Pam Harris, actually started Caring Voice after years of experience of working as a counselor and a patient advocate. Now, she recognized a need for an organization focused on assisting patients that were diagnosed with rare diseases and developed CVC's programs to help improve the lives of those individuals from many aspects. Now, for the past 13 years, CVC has developed and offered programs designed to provide financial relief, emotional support, and educational services to our patients.
That is absolutely wonderful, because it's definitely a need, and I think there are a lot of people who still aren't aware that such an organization exists. So I hope this is going to help spread the word. What are some of the specific services that CVC offers to patients and families who are living with Huntington's and juvenile Huntington's disease?
So here at Caring Voice, we have both financial services and non-financial services. Our financial services include both copayment and premium assistance. Now, copayment assistance is referring to assistance with the cost of a patient's FDA-approved medication that's indicated to treat a disease state that we support. So for someone who is applying for copayment assistance, we would complete an application with you, reach out directly to your doctor's office to obtain confirmation of their diagnosis, and if they were eligible for assistance, we would work directly with their pharmacy to make payment for a medication. Now, for premium assistance, we would complete an application with you, reach out to the insurance provider to verify coverage and to confirm payment amounts, and again, if eligible for assistance, determine the most convenient payment method for them. Premium assistance is specific to covering their insurance premiums. Now, as long as that insurance policy is providing coverage to the patient's FDA-approved medication to treat their supported disease. Now, our non-financial services that we also offer.
Can I interrupt just a minute? I want to ask a question about the help with the medications. With Huntington's, there's only one FDA-approved drug tetrabenazine or xenazine, and it's used to treat chorea. But many of the patients in our community don't take tetrabenazine. They take medications that help with psychiatric issues. And so while those things, there are medications that are FDA approved for bipolar disorder or schizophrenia or depression or even pseudobulbar affect, which are things that are part of Huntington's, but they're not specifically approved for Huntington's. Can you help with things like that?
So for our financial services, it is specific to those medications that are FDA indicated to treat Huntington's, xenazine and tetrabenazine. But for our non-financial services, they are geared towards helping our patients find financial stability through finding health insurance coverage that's affordable to them or obtaining Social Security disability. So for those services, it is not specific to any FDA-approved or indicated medication. It's just specific to their diagnosis.
Okay. So that would be what you were starting to talk about, the non-financial services that you offer.
Yes, and I can go into a little bit more detail there.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, our non-financial services, again, that is our health insurance counseling team and our disability team. Our health insurance counseling team is our team that helps individuals and educate them on their insurance coverage options. So on that team, we actually review all insurance types that they may qualify for to determine which would be best to meet both their financial and their medical needs. We would provide comparisons of specific plans available in their area that would cover their doctors and medications. And again, that would be geared towards all of their medications and all of their physicians. So that's kind of where we could help them find that coverage they need, but not directly provide that financial support for those other medications. We would also be able to help them through that enrollment process into insurance coverage.
So that kind of fills in the gap.
Yes, absolutely. So we still want to address the needs for their other medications and their health coverage needs and their medical needs. We would just do it in a different way.
Okay.
Now, our other... Yep, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was going to move to another question, but go ahead with what you were going to say.
Yeah, so I was just going to give some information on our disability team. That's the team that assists patients with applying for Social Security disability benefits. So that's another non-financial service that we offer. Now, for the disability team, we will complete an intake to determine which type of benefits you may qualify for, submit an initial application on your behalf, file an appeal if the initial application is denied, and even represent you at hearing level if needed. And again, all of these services are offered at no cost to our patients.
That is amazing, because I know one of the biggest challenges in our community is getting that disability. And Huntington's is actually on the compassionate allowances list. Both Huntington's and juvenile Huntington's are on the compassionate allowances list, which has, I'm sure you know, means they're supposed to be fast-tracked. But if the person that you're working with at Social Security doesn't know that and you don't really know how to navigate the system, it can still be difficult to get the disability application pushed through. So it's great that you guys can help with that.
Absolutely. Our patient advocates do great work. And again, a good difference, because here at Caring Voice, we provide our services at no cost. When and if they are approved for disability, there is no portion of that that's being taken out to be paid for the person representing you. If we're helping you here at Caring Voice and can get you approved for disability, all of everything that you're approved for is going into your pocket and not into somebody else's for assisting you with navigating that process, which can be very difficult.
That is amazing. I know when my son's disability application was denied, I had done all the initial stuff myself. And when it was denied, I was in the middle of working. I was teaching, and I felt like I didn't have time to do the appeals process. And
right.
So I hired a social security lawyer, and they essentially gave me everything to do. And
wow.
Then they collected a big chunk of his back pay that he was due once he was approved. So it's wonderful to know that there's someone out there who can help without taking those assets away.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, our patient advocates do great work, and we are happy to help. And we encourage anyone who has questions about that process to feel free to give us a call and to ask those questions wherever they are in the process. We are happy to help.
Okay. Could you share with us a couple of success stories?
Absolutely. I am excited to share some success stories. Now, the first success story that I'd like to talk about is kind of a patient that's been through it all with us here at Caring Voice. This patient came to us after leaving their job. When they first came to us, they were referred to our disability team for assistance in applying for Social Security disability. They were also referred to our health insurance counseling team for assistance navigating their insurance coverage options, specifically COBRA, which they were being offered through their employer. And COBRA has very specific deadlines. It's expensive.
Yes.
And can sometimes be confusing when you're offered that benefit. You just, you know, you're not quite sure what it is. So we were actually able to help them confirm their eligibility for COBRA, review their deadlines, follow up with them on their COBRA enrollment, and from there refer them to our premium assistance, which is our financial assistance, to help cover their portion of the cost of that COBRA premium. Now, in the meantime, yes, and just some additional information there, the COBRA approval is for 18 months initially, so they were initially approved for that 18 months of COBRA with the premium assistance. Now, during that time, a disability approval was received, and they immediately notified the COBRA administrator, which is typically always required. So if you ever have COBRA and get a disability approval, it's going to be required that you notify them within a specific time frame. So right away is always what we would recommend. So they were able to notify them right away and get approved for an 11-month extension of their COBRA coverage, which is available to individuals that are approved for disability within certain time frames. So if they're approved for disability prior to their COBRA eligibility or within the first 60 days, they can be eligible for that extension. Or if they get the approval and notify them within a specific time frame, no longer than 60 days during their COBRA term. So great scenario. They were able to get that 11-month extension. Now, after 24 months of receiving their disability payments because they had been approved, it's typically 29 months after their approval, the patient became eligible for Medicare, which is always automatic at that point in time. Now, they were able to come back to us for health insurance counseling for Medicare. And for Medicare health insurance counseling, we are able to create plan comparisons, go over their options for the different plan types that are offered through Medicare, review the plans with the patient, review the deadlines, and confirm enrollment. So we were able to go through that process with them so that they could get set up and felt comfortable with their options and enrolling into Medicare. And once they enrolled into Medicare, the copayments are a bit higher than the premiums when you have Medicare. So at that time, we were actually able to transition them to our copayment assistance. So they just switched from premium assistance to financial assistance with their copayment. So that patient kind of went through it all and back around again a few times with health insurance counseling, but that's certainly something that we are happy to see and a great scenario. For anybody that has any questions about any of those things, we would recommend that they call us.
That is an awesome story.
Absolutely. And I have a few more I can share as well that I would be happy to share.
Yeah, tell us another one.
Perfect. I have two more, if you don't mind. The next two are specific to the disability process. Now, we have a patient that was initially denied disability when he had first spoken with Caring Voice. He had been denied already. The request for an appeal in his state actually required an administrative law judge hearing. You go straight to that step. There's not really like an appeal step. The patient actually had not worked in several years, so he had to prove that he was disabled prior to a date that was almost 2 years back. Now, we stepped in as representatives for the patient and advised that he could drop his SSDI claim, which is based on work credits, and instead pursue SSI, which is actually based on financial need, and he did do that. Now, while he was pending his hearing, he was actually admitted into a long-term care facility because his family was actually no longer able to assist him and provide him all of his needs. At the hearing, the judge did approve his SSI claim for the full period that we had requested. And this was great because once his SSI was approved, he was automatically eligible for Medicaid, which helped pick up the cost of his long-term care, which at the time his family was paying for out of pocket. So it was a really great outcome for that individual.
That is great because that can be so costly. The long-term care. Wow. And I know that it's hard for people who have never dealt with this before to navigate all the, you know, that you've got all these letters, SSI and SSDI, and then you've got Medicaid and Medicare, and the names sound similar, but they're completely different things. And when you're first learning to navigate this, it can be so confusing. So it's
absolutely
wonderful to help with all those aspects.
Absolutely. We are happy to go over each one of those aspects. We certainly understand that you are bombarded with so many different letters and so much information, and it's very difficult to organize that information and to understand where you go each step of the way, and we are happy to help. And in regards to the long-term care, it can cost thousands a month. And most people don't know that Medicare doesn't cover any long-term care. Medicaid will, but most people assume that Medicare does, and it doesn't. So you can be left with having to pay thousands of dollars a month that you may or may not have. So it's very important to understand your coverage needs and your financial needs and, you know, what you're eligible for. So we are happy to review all of those things and to help provide clarification through those processes here at Caring Voice.
What about in-home care? Do you help with that? And I know in some states, caregivers can actually get paid to take care of their loved one. Do you help with things like that?
That is correct in some states. We do not have any direct assistance with helping locate in-home care, but what we can do is help you find insurance coverage that covers in-home care services. But we don't have any type of service to locate that. But once you have coverage that will cover in-home care, you usually can get connected with a caseworker or a representative that can help set those things up or let you know who is in network and who you can get that assistance from.
That's great because I know a lot of people really prefer to keep their loved one at home if they can just get the help that they need to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In hearing that, we know and understand that that is an increasing need, and that is certainly something that we can keep in mind for the future for expanding, because we certainly are always looking for ways to expand and to help our patients where they need it the most. So it's great hearing that feedback, and we know and understand that that's something that we could potentially grow to help provide assistance with.
Well, I know when you and I talked earlier before the show, you were telling me that there are plans already in place for expansion of your services. So,
absolutely.
I'm sure any feedback you can get from the community would help in deciding what the needs are and where the expansion should be.
Yes, we definitely want to hear that feedback. It's so important to us. We are here to serve our patients in every way that we can. So we would love to have any idea. We are definitely working on expansion, and we will continue to do that. That will always be our goal, is to expand and to help our patients in every way possible.
One of the big challenges with Huntington's disease is that a lot of times the patients are much younger than people who would typically go into a long-term care facility, and it's a place that will take someone who's in their 30s or 40s or even in their 50s. Is that something that y'all are able to help with?
Long-term care is actually something that we are now working on expanding into. That's something that we're currently researching, and we are definitely aware of the need for that assistance. It's not something that we currently provide. Again, we will still help provide resources right now, but we don't have a team geared towards that. But that is something that we are actively working on, and we are well aware of that need. So we are excited to have something, hopefully in the near future, that we can help our patients with and provide additional information on that service.
That is exciting. That's wonderful news. And you said you had a third success story that you wanted to share.
I absolutely do. This is a short one, too. Now, we had a patient that came to us with Huntington's in February of 2015. Now, we obtained their medical evidence and filed this patient's initial application within 1 month. His initial application was approved within 2 weeks. Now, the reason that this scenario is so important to share, I know, it's great. Our advocates really do great work. And I love this. I love this story. And the proof, this specific scenario is good proof that not all claims will take 2 years. And the sooner a patient comes to us, the more likely we are to get a fast approval. Now, we certainly don't want anyone to wait to call. So if you have questions or you're interested in the process or think it's time, go ahead and make that call to consult with a disability patient advocate. We are happy to start working with you again at any time, but this scenario is just really great proof that, you know, the sooner the better in a lot of cases.
Yeah, that's just amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, who is eligible for assistance?
Now, in order to be eligible for our financial assistance, you must have a supported diagnosis. Huntington's disease is one of our supported diagnoses. You must be prescribed an FDA-approved treatment, have current insurance coverage for your FDA-approved treatment, be a United States resident, and meet our income eligibility criteria. Now, again, that is just for our financial assistance. For our non-financial services, if someone is seeking health insurance counseling or disability assistance, the only eligibility criteria are that the patient must have a CVC-supported diagnosis, such as Huntington's, and be a United States resident.
Okay. So it's really, it's pretty simple.
Yes, absolutely. And again, we can always start with the non-financial service and work into financial services if that's something that they become eligible for later on. So we certainly welcome anyone to call with questions. We are happy to help.
So as long as someone has a supported diagnosis, in this case it would be Huntington's or juvenile Huntington's, and they're a U.S. resident, you can help them.
That is correct. Yes, ma'am. We can help them with our health insurance counseling as well as disability, so Social Security disability.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how does someone go about applying for that assistance?
Now, they do have a few options in applying for assistance. You or your caregiver can apply for assistance by visiting our website, and that is www.caringvoice.org. And you can complete an application on our secure Cloud 9 portal, or you can call us directly at our toll-free number. That number is 888-267-1440 during our normal business hours, which are Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, we do not accept applications submitted by a doctor, a pharmacy, or another third party. Again, you yourself or a caregiver can apply. And patients seeking financial assistance should have information related to their basic demographic information, their doctor, and their insurance at the time of their application. So those are going to be the main points for financial assistance.
Okay. Let's say someone still living alone and doesn't have a caregiver, but they need help with applying. Would it be best for them to call the number rather than going online to apply?
Yes. So if they call the number, they will speak with a case manager here at Caring Voice, and we can take their information verbally over the phone, and we can go through that process step by step. Truly, the only thing that they will need to provide, again, is their basic demographic information, their doctor information, and their insurance. From there, we will take it from them, and we will contact their doctor for them to confirm their diagnosis and those types of things. So as long as they can get on the phone and give us a call, we are happy to help them through that process.
That's perfect. Okay. Is there anything else that listeners need to know?
Yes, absolutely. Kind of spinning off of that, it is important for our patients and their caregivers to know that in order for CVC to speak with an individual on the patient's behalf, we will need verbal or written authorization. So in that case, if they need assistance and they need a friend or somebody to help, in order to give verbal authorization for the patient, they must be able to provide their basic information, which includes their date of birth and their address. So if they want to verbally authorize somebody else to assist them with the process, they will just need to verbally state their date of birth and their address to us over the phone. Now, certainly if verbal authorization cannot be obtained, we understand. We can accept power of attorney documentation, or we can provide them an authorization form to be completed and signed by the patient so that they can return that to us either via mail, fax, or email. All of those are communication methods that we can use, and we can provide that form for them to sign and fill out as to who they would like to authorize.
Okay. That's a good thing to know. Because sometimes people do need to depend on somebody else to help them through the process. And I guess that's because of HIPAA, probably, that you have to get the authorization. Yeah.
Yes, we always want to protect their private health information. So we are always going to do that and always ensure that. But we also understand that there are patients that will need assistance. So we definitely want to make sure that they have different ways to provide that authorization, a way that will work for them and that will be easy for them to give that authorization.
Okay. Is there anything else that our listeners should know?
I just want to reiterate again that our services are free, that we're happy to help. We will always, if there's a service that we've spoken about, like long-term care, something that we haven't spoken about, please give us a call. We are happy to still find resources locally. We love to do that. If it's not something that we can do, we want to find somebody else that can do it for you. And hopefully in the future, we will be able to do it all. That's our goal. But know that we are happy to find additional resources for them, somebody locally that they can speak with. We can do that research. So pick up the phone and give us a call. If you prefer to go online, you can send us messages online as well. And we are happy to help and do everything that we can.
That's great. So you can do the networking.
Absolutely. We are happy to provide additional resources locally, nationally, however it may be. We are happy to – we can provide those resources over the phone. We can put them together to be mailed out, emailed, faxed to them. They can give us a call, and we will look into it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I've heard from several members of our HD community that Caring Voice Coalition has been a tremendous help to them, and we just appreciate that more than words could ever possibly express. Again, the website for Caring Voice Coalition is www.caringvoice.org, and their toll-free phone number is 267-1440. Thank you again, Heather. We appreciate everything y'all are doing to help our community, and thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Sharon. I really appreciate it. We would love to be involved again. You know, please reach out anytime. We are so thankful to have our patients. We love to do this. So we want everyone to feel free to reach out and ask questions, and hopefully we can continue to support this community for years to come.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you. Now to the headline news. This past week, I'm probably going to say this name incorrectly, but I'm going to give it a shot. Professor Nelly Giorgio Karastianis, who is a researcher at Monash University in Melbourne, Australia, says they've discovered a neurotransmitter pathway in the brain that is dysfunctional. The pathway relies on a chemical messenger controlled by a gene to function properly. It's not the defective HD gene. It's not the Huntington gene. She says, not only was the path defective in the brain, but it was found to be dysfunctional long before the symptoms of HD appeared. And depending on the level of dysfunction in this other gene, they found it to correlate with when symptoms would start, either earlier or later. So this is something that may go towards answering the question of why people with the same CAG repeat have different onset and different progression. This may affect that. The research may help guide the development of treatment. And Giorgio Karastiana said it may be possible to develop treatments that change the way this gene or other genes are expressed expressed, for example, by targeting the dysfunctional pathway, we delay the clinical onset or perhaps reduce symptoms. Second thing in the news this past week, Melanie Chung, a neuroscientist at the University of Auckland's Center for Brain Research in Auckland, New Zealand, hopes to harness the plasticity of the brain. Plasticity is the brain's ability to rewire itself so that it can slow the progression of neurodegenerative conditions such as Huntington's disease. She hopes that through brain training, the BDNF, the brain-derived neurotrophic factor levels, will increase, and that helps with the brain's function. The brain program that she and her colleague have designed address such issues as emotional recognition, speed of processing, working memory, attention, and executive function, all things that are affected in Huntington's. Their theory is that by using brain training early on, the onset of symptoms can be delayed, and the improvement of cognition will also help with psychiatric issues like depression and anxiety, and possibly even with motor symptoms. And we're hoping to have more information on that, perhaps on a later Help for HD Live episode. Remember, the first of Help for HD's highly interactive participant education days is not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, March 18th, from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Falls in Elk Grove, California. Registration, breakfast, and lunch are all free. To register, contact our president, Katie Jackson, at katie@help4hd.org. Again, that's katie@help4hd.org. Finally, remember to add your voice to our letter writing campaign asking the FDA to expedite clinical trials for Huntington's and to include clinical trials for juvenile Huntington's. Details can be found on our website, www.help4hd.org. And be sure to tune in at the same time next week to hear Katie Jackson's interview with Dr. Ted Brown. This is going to be a fascinating interview about research he's doing using laughter as a possible therapy for neurodegenerative diseases. Till then, have a great week, and may this be the year of the cure. Thank you all for tuning in. Good night.